I'm going to try a song today. I've had this kind of had this song on my mind now for a little while. It seemed like it's a good song. And I've thought a lot about this, man. I've been thinking a lot. I've been talking back and forth with Brother Tommy Cook. I've told y'all his mom and dad are both near death. And I talked to him the other day. And I wasn't talking, texting. Is texting talking? I don't know. And I was texting that, and he had texted, and we'd text. I'd text him back and forth, asked him how things are. And he said, he texted me back, and he said, I don't know why my daddy's lingering on. I just don't know why. Daddy just seems to be lingering. He's been lingering now for 9 months, and I don't know why. And I told him about that story my daddy used to say about daddy had an old horse named Dan. He'd ride that horse over there. I found out where that little schoolhouse was. David Ray come by the house the other day and told me about that little schoolhouse being over there on New Hope Church Road. Said daddy used to, he didn't go to school long, but he'd get on old Dan. He'd ride, cut through the woods over there, and they'd cross the creek, and he'd go to the little one-room schoolhouse down there on New Hope Church Road. And it was it had been real rainy right along in there, and daddy said the creek was all up real high out of its banks, and said old Dan just paced from one end to the other. From one end to the other. And he said, finally, after doing that about three or four times, old Dan just turned around and went back to the house. He said, but the next day, Dan found a place to cross. And I told Brother Tommy, I said, you know, I thought about that. I used that at my daddy's funeral. And I said, old Dan finally found somewhere to cross. You know, my daddy seemed like, you know, he'd been sick and on and off, you know, for years. And then finally, when the time come. Old Dan found a place to cross. And I just texted that to Tommy, and Tommy just said, that just helped me so much. But you know, I've been thinking about heaven, you know. And one day it's going to be, boy, we sing that song, it'll be worth it all. I've been thinking about that song, if just one more soul would have walked down the aisle. I've been thinking about that song a lot here lately. I really have. But I want to try to sing this song. I want to stroll over heaven with you. If I survey all the goodness that comes to me from above, and I would count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I simply ask for a favor of Him beyond mortal end. I'm sure He would grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all our troubles and heartaches have truly vanished away. Then we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we've longed to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come the morning of rapture, together we'll stand, and then I'll stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all our troubles and heartaches have truly vanished away. Then we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Amen. I'm looking forward to those long strolls over heaven. Amen. All right. I want you to find your place in Luke chapter number 8. I heard tell of a preacher the other day, I believe we was trying to figure out whether he's in his late 80s or he may have reached 90. Named Milford Biddle. I don't know, y'all probably never got to hear Brother Milton Biddle preach. We heard him preach this past summer, and he preached like a man of 20 years old instead of a man of in his late 80s, 90. He was preaching at a revival meeting this past week, and he preached like he always preaches with the anointing and the power of God on his life. And they said he went back to the prophet's chamber, motel, whichever it might have been, and took his shower, got in the bed. And sometime in the middle of the night, he stepped out into eternity to meet Jesus. And somebody went by, a family member, someone from the church, and they said he was such a creature of habit, they knew that when his car was still sitting there in the driveway at a certain time of day, something was wrong. They let himself in, and there somewhere in the night he had just slipped out. Well, that's a good way to go when it's time to go, isn't it? I'm a firm believer everybody's got an expiration date just like a gallon of milk does. You never know when that time's going to be. And when your time is, when it is your time, they can take you down to Duke and they can put you on every kind of life support, sustain life, what they call life, as best as they can, do the best they can, but it's not going to matter because when it's your time. So you pray God will help us. I want to stroll over with heaven with you. I spend the greatest burden of my heart of my ministry here at Welcome is that I would see souls saved. And be able to have fruit to my account when I get to heaven. I don't want it so I can brag on me, but I want it so I will not stand before Jesus empty-handed. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 26, look here with me. And I want to read down through verse 37. So I want you to kind of hang in here with me today. And now, some of you may be too hot, some of you may be too cold, and some of you may be just right. If you're not just right, I encourage you to do what you need to do to get just right. Because it is that time of the year when no matter what we do to the thermostat, it will not be sufficient. So just I'm going to leave it at that. All right? When we came in today, it was 74 degrees, and it was unbearably stuffy in here. So I just turned the fans on. Well, it remained at that temperature, but it was still become unbearably, to me, stuffy in here. So we turned a little air conditioning on. So if you get too cool, if you got somebody to snuggle up to, just snuggle up a little bit closer. If you don't have nobody to snuggle up to, I suggest you get busy finding somebody this week, okay? Luke chapter 8, verse number 26. If you want me to come down there and snuggle with you, honey, I will snuggle. Come on up here, you can snuggle with me. And I'll let you read the scripture and I'll just preach. We'll do like to do. We love to do in some churches. And I say, First Lady, read. Amen. All right, verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no, let my pages stuck together, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. And he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that they would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it to the city in the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also, which saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now, I'm going to stop reading there for the sake of time. We're going to look at more of these verses. We're going to kind of take this little section of Scripture apart. If you keep your Bible open, I'd appreciate it. It will help you to be able to follow along with me. But I want to preach to you this morning on the power of a personal witness. Do you realize you possess something today that can either be powerful or unpowerful? Do you believe that today? Does anybody believe that other than my wife? Believe that you possess something that can be powerful
or lack all power and be void, totally void of any power at all. And that's your witness. You are witnessing. You say, preacher, you talk a lot about a witness. What is a witness? Well, as simple as this, a witness is what other people think about you. Some people say it's your reputation. No, your witness is what do people think about you. When they see you coming, they say, well, there comes old Zeke. Old Zeke, he's a good boy. He'd go out there. You know, he goes to church every Sunday, but you can always count on him to be in the card game with us, and he'll get drunk with us on Friday night. But I tell you what, he's faithful to that church. He religiously going to go to that church down there. His reputation is nothing. His testimony is nothing. His makes the house of God look like a joke. Now, if they see some fella and say, well, there's old Joe coming there, and I'm going to tell you what, old Joe, and y'all shut up all that nasty talking over there. Don't be telling them dirty jokes around old Joe. Old Joe's serious about what he believes, and he's not afraid of what he believes. He'll stand for what he believes. I'll tell you what, I might not always agree with him, and I ain't going to go to church with him, but I'll tell you what, I respect him for the stand that he takes. Joe's got a testimony. He's got a witness. So you got a witness. It's either a powerful witness, it means something, or your witness means nothing. Now, that's important to understand today. The power, you have something that can be powerful. Now, have you ever thought, what will it take to turn America back to God? Well, I think many times that it is not the lack of witnesses, but rather the lack of a witness. You see, if you possess the ability to witness, then in order to be a witness, you must witness. I'm not trying to play with words this morning. I'm trying to help you. Many times when a crime is committed, the police will say, well, we have a lot of witnesses, but no one will come forward. That's what I'm trying to say. We have a lot of witnesses, but no one will come forward and be a witness in these days we're living in. The Muslims are taking over America and taking over the world by storm. All of these things you're seeing in Egypt as a result of the Muslim Brotherhood wanting to take total control of that country. I say, what's the Muslim Brotherhood? The Muslim Brotherhood is a crowd that believes in a thing called Sharia law. Sharia law is quite simply, just to give you one example, is if a man's caught shoplifting, they cut his hand off. If your children or your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews end up being found in the family way without being married, they take them out of the town and stone them. You say, oh, that's Old Testament stuff. No, they still do that in countries today. By the way, even a child that would be abused, and as a result of an incestuous relationship with a grown man, may perhaps even her father be in the same situation, be taken out of town and stoned, and say, it ain't her fault. Well, that's what Muslim religion believes. That's what Sharia law believes. But this crowd is growing by leaps and bounds, and the Christians are sitting back twiddling their thumbs saying, well, they told us from Washington that we had to be understanding and we had to coexist. And we're afraid to say anything because we might get in trouble. Remember me telling y'all the other day about the ball game in Randleman where they told the fellow that announced the ball game in Randleman right just up the road near Ashburn, near the zoo. And by the way, I'm going to tell you, you think I'm crazy when I say this. We live in Orange County. Our church is in Orange County. Some of y'all don't live in Orange County. You live farther east of here. But if you leave Orange County and you go one county over into Alamance County, you have a totally different set of standards for religious conduct and service of Christian conduct. The churches this morning in Alamance County, for the most part, that call themselves fundamental independent Baptists, are still shouting and singing and getting wound up tighter than an 8-day clock, and they may not get out of preaching time to 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon, and they don't care. If a good preacher preaches the Bible in Orange County goes past 1 o'clock at the very latest, they'll string him up, time to a railroad track, and pray for the train to come. You say, them people in Alamance County must be fanatical. Well, bless your heart. Don't go farther. Don't go to Forsyth. They just plumb Jesus crazy up there. Why do you think your pastor has to go west of here to really enjoy the camp meeting atmosphere and the ability to go and worship and not have to have a bunch of strings attached to him? Because I tell you what, I want to go and I want to preach where I can be, turn him loose and let him go. Hey, it's different. for them to say, the ACLU to stand up and get a judge to sign an order saying that the announcer at a ball game in Randleman right there in Ashburn cannot pray before the ball game, that's just throwing gas on a fire. That's like looking at a copperhead snake right in the eye and say, you nice snake, you ain't going to bite me. And man, that thing hit the news and people went crazy. They packed that stadium out for that ball game, and when they would normally have the prayer, he said, well, since there's been a court order, I'm no longer going to be able to pray, so we're going to have a moment of silence, and I want all y'all to be silent all over this stands, and everybody on the field. Now, we're going to observe a moment of silence, and a prayer meeting broke out, and that crowd went totally Jesus crazy. You say, oh, that's out of order. No, that's in order, friend. They had a witness, and they were not afraid to witness. They're going to have a meeting in the Bojangles Center. Where's that at? Is that in Charlotte? Do they play a ball game or something there? Somebody help me and knows about that stuff, Brian. Do you know? What good are you? He said, in Charlotte. Thank you, brother. What? But they're going to have I got another flyer on it today. Bring Back America rally. Because they said in Rowan County, the Rowan County Commissioners have always opened their meetings with prayer. ACLU said, can't do that no more. They said, we'll see about that. Everywhere I have been in the last 6 months, there's been churches have been west of here, have been announcing that we want you to bring your people by the busload. We're going to pack that council chambers out. We're going to pack every inch of real estate in downtown Rowan, I think the county seat, Salisbury. We're going to pack it out to the max. We're going to show them that God still ought to be respected. A witness. So you've got a witness. You got to decide to use it. Now listen, I didn't mean to get off on all that, but it seemed like a good place to get off. Amen? Hey, there's no doubt many things wrong in America. We can say that. I mean, there's lots of stuff wrong with America. But enough for God's people to get busy telling somebody about God, a God that can. See, we don't have no trouble standing around and complaining about Obama. That's a witness. Now, am I right about it? You don't have no trouble complaining about whatever. You don't have no trouble promoting whatever you want to. Is that right? You eat in a good restaurant, you don't mind telling people about it. You get good service somewhere, you don't mind telling people about it. I drive all the way to Kernersville just to get my cell phones. You know why? Number one service. And I tell people everywhere I go, I tell them what the way things work with our phones and the way I can call up my man. And he takes, how do you do that? I said, go to Kernersville. Go see Aaron in Kernersville on Main Street. They said, you go all the way to Kernersville? I said, it's worth it going to, I get customer service, man. I witness to them. I'm promoting it. And you know, when you witness for God, what you're doing, you're promoting God. He said, God don't need no promotion. He promotes himself. That's what do you think he left you here for? You see, if God didn't want us to have an important part in what goes on, he just, when he saved you, he just go ahead and take you on out of here right then. Sometimes I wonder if some folks he saved, he don't wish he just had done it that way. Do you think that if enough of God's people get busy telling somebody else about God, that it'd be possible to see God move again in a mighty way, not just here, but having a massive move of God all across the world? I believe that. I believe that's what's wrong with America today, is God's people have sat down and they say, well, we're ready, we're rapture ready. And we're ready to go out in the rapture, and it's just going to be wonderful, like the preacher sung, to stroll over heaven. And I just can't wait. Well, are you planning on taking anybody with you? You know, I want to take as many people with me as I can. That's my goal in life, is I want to take as many people to heaven with me as I can. And I learned a long time ago, I can't do that sitting around the house. I can't do that not doing nothing. I can't do that not reading the Word of God and preparing myself for the battle, because there's a battle out there. Hey, if you want a witness, you're going to face some opposition. Hey, you might as well be bitten. You might as well be giving testimony against the mob, because you're going to face some opposition. The devil's going to attack you on every hand. Boy, the devil's been after me with everything he's got. I'm just going to be honest with you. He's unleashed the demons of hell on my family. I mean, I told my wife this morning. I said, I'm about to die. And I just, you know, it's physically things, and those things come because the devil ain't happy with what I'm doing to my life. Amen. Y'all believe there's a real devil? Y'all believe he's got real demons that does his work for him? Sure he does. Amen. As just as good as a real God is a real devil. Now let's see what the Bible says. Are you ready to look at your Bible today? Say amen. If you ain't got your Bible, I feel sorry for you. Verse 26 right here, we see in the Word of God. Let me get turned back a page here. It says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. Now the disciples, if you set it back, they have just gone through a harrowing experience and almost been in the shipwreck. And they land the boat at a place called the Gadareans. Now, I thought that place, the Gadareans, that might have really some great meaning to that name, as it being such an important place, but it doesn't. It just says it's a place located east of the Jordan River. We say, well, it's just a place like Hillsborough. You see, Hillsborough's like most places I go. Hillsborough's got good people and bad people. Hillsborough's got its problems. Amen. Some people are getting along fine. Some people ain't getting along at all. Amen. You see, but this place here that Jesus landed up in, the place called the Gadareans, the disciples no doubt said, boy, I sure am glad we out of that storm. I sure am glad we landed this boat safely. But I ain't got no idea why we stopped here. You see, that's what happened to Paul on that ship. When he was on that ship, you know, when that ship ended up getting shipwrecked, said they found a place where they could have docked that ship till all the storms passed, till the stormy season, till the hurricane season passed. But they said it was not commodious to dock there. In other words, it wasn't a good place. It wasn't enough, excuse me, but there wasn't enough whorehouses and bars there to keep everybody happy during the time that they would have had to dock there. So they said, we're going on to another place. That's what it means when they're not a commodious to winter in. You study it up. You know, some of y'all act like you don't believe some of the things I say. I'd say study it up. But you don't care enough to try to prove me wrong, so just study it up. I'm telling you, there's a reason why the preacher has to study to show himself approved. Amen. Hey, verse 27, as soon as they docked this ship, the devil showed up. Hey, man, do you realize as soon as you decide you're going to land somewhere and do something for God, the devil's going to show up? Now, the devil showed up. The disciples must have thought, does it ever end? You ever thought that? Does it ever end? Amen. Hey, when somebody else is going to have some bad luck, when does it ever end? Y'all don't feel that way, I know. I feel that way sometimes. Amen. Does it ever end? It was not enough that the storm almost killed us, but now this crazy man's going to kill us now. There's trouble everywhere we go. This is nuts. Let me give you this application. If you're going to serve God, you might as well face it. You're going to have to deal with some devils. The Bible refers to this man as a certain man. Now, this certain man may have had a family at one time. He may have been a good employee at one time, a good brother, a good father, a son, a grandson. He may have been a man of great influence at one time. But now the Bible just says he's a certain man. Realize most people at one time was really something, but now they're just certain. I see people all the time, they're just certain people. They used to have something. I know a man, he came to Hillsborough, he had nothing. And he built an empire. And then he had nothing again. And then he built another empire. And last time I heard, he decked to nothing again. You know, most people I know end up going from really something to being just certain. In other words, there's nothing really that distinguishes man from other people but his bad testimony. And look, many times the Word of God, we see certain people in certain places with certain problems. Isn't that right? Look at 27 here. It says, and when he went forth to land, there met him one out of the city, a certain man, which had devils long time. Amen. And wore no clothes. In other words, he ain't got no clothes on. Neither abode in any house, but he's in the tombs. Now, let's look at this man for just a little bit. And I'm going to try to give you a few things today, and we'll go home. We see his state or his status. What's the man's status? It says he had on no clothes. Now, if you get full of the devil, and the demons of hell get the upper hand on you, the first thing that'll happen is it's going to show up in your appearance. Now, you thought I was going to say your clothes fall off, but I said it'll show up in your appearance. Show up. I have never in my life seen a day and a time when so many men that call themselves professionals and work in a professional environment look so shabby. Now, If you got a beard, that's fine. I never have been able to grow mine. Mine looked like a rabbit had been chewing on it. Every time I grew one, it had big holes in it. I tried, And then last time I tried to let my mustache grow out, I looked a lot like Colonel Sanders. So I said, I got to get that off because I'm going to get food in it. And it's going to be all different kind of colors by the time I get done eating. And you think about getting Tabasco in that thing. Man, I look like somebody just painted red paint on me. I look like I had lipstick on. Mustard. I mean, I get my food. I enjoy my food when I eat. They get all over me. I'm like Bobby Robinson said, my ties got so much food on them, I had to put them in the freezer to keep them spoiling. But this man, it showed up on his appearance. And I believe in America today we have a bunch of shabby looking people because the demons of hell are showing up on their appearance. Now I ain't even gonna get into these young boys with the drawers all hanging down. I don't never understand that. I will never understand it. And I ain't ever used me trying to get off on that because some things in life I just ain't gonna ever understand it. By the way, I don't understand why a woman want to wear. Why they make pants now? If you women wear pants, that's fine. I ain't gonna fuss you about that. But try to wear something where when you look at you from behind, where the belt goes is straight across and not like this. Okay, right? Amen. They get like that and then they get their name tattooed right there in case they forget who they are. Then back up to the mirror and see. I guess I don't know. I don't understand these things about our appearance, but I see the devils and the demons of hell affect your appearance. Do you believe that? You know why we see so many young girls dress provocatively the way they do, intentionally? It ain't because they can't dress no better. They do it intentionally. They're trying to magnify and draw attention to places on their body that they know that is going to affect the mind of a man. And by the way, that's the demon showing up on them. And that's what's got a lot of young girls in trouble. And by the way, it's a lot of old women trying to look like young girls these days, too. Well, now, brown cow. I'm going to stand back here. At least I'll be partially protected. I helped my wife pick her clothes out. You say, why you help your wife? Because I know. I want to help my wife pick her clothes. Well, I think she ought to have nice things. I help her pick her shoes out. I said, you might be a grandma, but you ain't got to look like one. I said, I don't want you to look like Hannah Montana, but I don't want you to look like somebody's old grandma who's 90 years old either. All right? Y'all see what I'm getting at? But we got a lot of grandmas that's trying to look like Miley Cyrus. And God help, I don't even know what she done the other day, and I don't want to know. You hear me? You ought to be glad your pastor don't want to know what she done. Some things I'm reading up in Fox's headlines, I don't want to know about it. You see, this guy here, he showed up on his appearance. Said folks ain't waiting in line to invite this guy to church. The boldest soul winners in town ain't shining their shoes and getting their tracks ready to go see this guy. Because this showed up on his appearance. Can I tell you something? The next time you see somebody that's got stuff stuck all in them, and they got tattoos all up and down, and they just don't look like there's no skin left nowhere, smile at them. They're used to scaring people. And they want to scare people. Most of the time because they just want to be left alone. But yet, deep in their hearts, you know what they want? I wish somebody cared for me. I wish somebody cared about me. They do that to get attention, but they want negative attention. Y'all realize that, don't you? I mean, I've seen people that just went out of their way to try to look scary. I smile at them. I speak to them. If I get close enough to speak to them, I say, hey, how you doing, all right? Good to see you. You say, then people's going to kill you one of these days. Most of the time, that crowd ain't the ones you got to worry about. The people that look like me is the ones you got to worry about. If you see a man my age with a decent haircut and clean shaven, and he's got a fanny pack on, let me tell you what's in that fanny pack. He ain't got a checkbook in there. If you see Brother Charles Churchill in Walmart, he's got that fanny pack. He ain't keeping his list in there. Most of y'all saying, what's he got in there? What's if you got to know, just ask James later. His state or his status, his scary appearance. He didn't live in any house. He didn't even live in a shack. He stayed in the graveyard. He was more comfortable with the dead instead of those that are alive. That's where the world is today, isn't it? That crowd that has a demonic appearance, or the demons are showing on their appearance, is the same crowd just like this man right here. They don't care where they live. They don't need to live nowhere. Most of the time, they're just flopping with their friends. They'll flop with his friend until they get run off, and then they'll flop with that friend until they get run off, and then they'll go down the road and flop with that friend until they get run off, and then they'll go flop with that one until they get run off, and then they'll go to the beach with that one and flop till they get run out from down there, and then they'll end up down there, and then they'll, next thing you know, you'll hear tell them they're in Washington, D.C., and they went up there because they was just flopping with somebody that wanted to go up there and protest about something. Or they was flopping with somebody that wanted to go protest a nuclear reactor somewhere. They just flopping with somebody that wanted to go protest the military. They just flopping. They don't want a home because they got the demons on them. No matter how hard they try, that is where they are in life, right? And they're more comfortable. My daddy used to tell me this years ago, and this has really stuck with me. It's amazing how the things that your daddy told you kind of come back to your mind. He said, son, some people ain't got nothing and want something. He said, but there's a whole lot of people that ain't got nothing, but they don't want nothing. And he said, them kind of folk ain't going to never have nothing. And I know people today, I mean, my age, in their 50s, and they still ain't got nothing. They still living that life. You can look at their appearance. I see them on the internet. When I pull them up, I see them, and I say, man, they in jail again. They look worse than they did last time I seen them. The demons is on their appearance. You look at it, you pull up the information, no known address. Hey, they still living with dead folks. They don't have nothing alive in their life. We see their status. We see his scary appearance. We see his uncommon surroundings. Devil will make you live a life of separation and isolation. People say, oh, y'all just live so separated down there. Y'all just isolated from the world. I'm not isolated. Man, I got more friends now than I've ever had. When I was running with the devil's crowd, I was pretty isolated then. You want to run with the devil's crowd and get isolated and run out of money? Run out of money, run out of dope, run out of liquor. And your rent be due, and your power get turned off, and your cell phone get took away from you, and your car get repossessed. You want isolation? You'll find isolation, friend. Because all your friends, you thought with your friends, guess what? Don't none of them know you no more. That's isolation. Hey, if I went home today and I was thrown out of my house, or I went home today and my house was burnt down, I hope it ain't, because we sure did do a whole lot of work on it. I sure wanted to stay pretty for a little while. But, I mean, if it burned up, if it blowed away, I mean, if I go out here and the car's gone and say, where went the car? I thought it was paid for. Somebody stole it. The repo man didn't get it. Somebody stole it. It's gone. What are we going to do? I mean, I got a whole bunch of people. I can get a ride. Many of y'all, I mean, any of y'all take me home. I'd go home, and if my house is gone, I got a whole bunch of people I could call. I mean, I got all kinds of people I could call. Amen. Now, some of y'all never been worldly and never been drunks and alcoholics and all that. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you what. When you get to where you run out of everything, you ain't got nobody to call. You ain't got nobody to call because it's over with, friend. Verse 28, look here with me. Verse 28. It said, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. Now, look, I'm going to get into something here. I want you to hang with me here just for a minute. Some people will say that that's the devil responding, but I think it's the man talking. Listen to me. He's got a hopeless situation. You realize that? This man's hopeless right now. You believe that? Even in his demon-possessed state, his first response when he comes to Christ is he cried out. He knew who he was in the presence of. Hey, you know if you had the will of God when you get around somebody who's full of God. He fell down before him in humble submission. He acknowledged who Christ is. What did he say? Look at it again. He said when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee? I beseech thee, torment me not. He said, Jesus said, look, I've got enough problems. Please don't torment me because of my situation I'm in. By the way, Jesus did not torment him because of the situation he was in. Jesus took care of the situation he was in. Now look right here with me. Just a minute. He acknowledged Christ. And you get so messed up in sin that you will think that God's against you. But God's never against you. God's always for you. I have seen people before that got so messed up, so backward, so backslid, so out of sorts with God that they actually thought God was against them. I don't believe I've ever seen anybody that I could say that was trying to halfway do right that God was against. You say, well, I got so many bad things happening to me, God must be against me right now. God's not my friend. Well, if you're saved, God's your friend. If you're saved, God's on your team. If you're saved, God's on your side. But if you're lost, guess what? He wants to be on your side, but you won't let him. It ain't him, it's you, amen? Now look at verse number 29, the reality of his sad slavery. We see his hopeless situation, the reality of his sad slavery. Verse 29, it says, well, he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters and break the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Man's way of dealing with the problems is chains. By the way, that's the church's way of dealing with a lot of things. Don't. Man's way of dealing with problems, man's 12 steps of happiness always fall short. Man's road to health and wealth never reaches its destination point. And it never has a lasting result. You see, every time they tried to contain him and control him, he broke free. Every time the devil led him to be more isolated, the wilderness became more isolated than before. You realize the farther you get away from God, the easier it is to get even farther away from God. That's why a lot of folks are no longer come to the house of God. That's why they no longer have a desire to come to the house of God. They say they do. They say they love God. They say they love this church. They say they love me. Well, things that I love, I usually fight for them. Amen. At verse number 30 right here. Look here with me. And it says, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Christ has gotten the devil's attention now. Now, what happened? Verse 31, we summarize this way. Verse 30, Christ gets the devil's attention. Verse 31, the devil said, I don't like to go swimming. I ain't got my bathing suit with me today. And verse 32, they wanted to go into them there pigs over there. Are we together so far? Verse 33, it says, and then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Oops, they went swimming anyway. And Jesus sitting there saying, did I do that? You see, the devil said, we don't want to go. Don't drown us now. Don't drown us. Whatever you do, don't drown us. He drowned them pigs, but the devil just happened to be in the pigs. Amen. Yeah, man, they got out of the man, they got into pigs, and them pigs committed homicide right there. They jumped in the lake and drowned it, amen? I wonder if that's where it comes from, go jump in the lake. And it says right here in verses 34 through 36, and I got to summarize some of this, the whole outfit's tore out the frame, something big done happened down yonder around the graveyard, that crazy man down there, we done hear some strange things happening down there around the graveyard, and they come out, and a whole town shows up to see what's happening, right? And in verse 37, it says, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and turned back again. They told Christ, said, leave town now. They said, what if the next person he finds that's got the demon in him, he sends them demons into the watermelon patch? Now, what are we going to do about that? What if he sends them into the tomato patch? What if them demons goes down there and gets in the fishes? What are we going to do now? What if he sends them demons into the chickens? So Christ gets back in the ship and leaves. He returns to Galilee. Now I'm going to give you something that's going to blow your shoes, slam off your feet. Are you ready? It looks as though he went to Gadarene just to help one person. He went to all that trouble, honey, just for one. They went through a storm to get there. They had one person. And he got back in the ship and he went right back where he started out at. Now, this is the message, verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him.
But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house. Show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way, published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now, Jesus has been dealing with this man called the maniac of Gadara. It's what usually you hear referred to. The Gadarean maniac. Jesus has been dealing with this man one-on-one, personally. He sends the demons out of this man, a legion, which is a great multitude of demons is entered into this man. He sends the demons out. He talks to the demons. First off, the man says, "Please don't torment me. I'm in enough shape, bad enough shape as it is." And then Jesus talked directly to the demon that sent that man. And the demon said, Don't send us. Don't drown us. Whatever you do. We want to go in them pigs over there. See them pigs? We want to go in them pigs. He said, "No problem. Go in the pigs." And then the pigs drowned themselves and killed two birds with one stone. Right? So we see Jesus goes from dealing with one man to now the whole town's dealing with Jesus. Get out of town. Get out of town right now. You've caused enough trouble here. Get out of town. Seemed to me like they'd be rejoicing over this man. I mean, the youngins ain't been able to walk past the graveyard. Every time, you imagine every time they had to bury somebody, they had to deal with this man. And they probably send some big burly guys down in there, like Daniel, to grab him. Said, "Look, we got to bury somebody this afternoon. Go down yonder and find that crazy man and wrap him up in some new chains and chain him to a tree or something. And gag him so he'll be quiet so we can at least have this funeral in peace." But every time they chain him, he'd break the chains. And can you imagine him trying to have a funeral and him running up in the middle, running up in the middle of him and people running and getting scared and everything else? But yet, Jesus took care of that situation. And instead of them rejoicing about it, instead of them saying, "Oh, Lord, we're so glad you're here. Would you preach to us a while you're here? We've heard about great things you've done. Tell us some of the good things. Tell us what your Father's got going on in heaven right now." And they said, "Get out. You've caused enough trouble here today. Are we together so far?" Now the man that was the crazy man, who's been a slave to sin, is now wanting to be a willing servant. He requested Jesus, "I want to go with you." But instead, Christ sent him on a missionary journey. He said, "Go home. Tell your people what I've done for you." And what he did was, he told it everywhere he went, what Christ had done for him. What's the result? Verse 40, I'm done. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned where? Now, he's done gone back to Galilee. Says up there that he went away. Jesus sent him away saying he returned back again. Where'd he go? He got the ship and went back to Galilee, right? And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. The result of a sold-out witness. That same crowd that had rejected Christ now gladly accepted and received him. Now what happened? Christ did a work in the life of one man, and he told it all over town. He literally turned the heart of the people to Christ, and all he did was tell what Christ did for him. That's all he did. He didn't know nothing about the Bible. He didn't know the Romans' road to salvation. Really, this is what I believe. Said he's sitting clothed in his right mind, so we know he's cleaned up now. He's got his clothes on. He's talking right. He's acting right. I believe all he had to do was walk up into McDonald's the next morning. Say, "Can I have a large coffee?" People's bringing their youngins back. And they watched him a little while. And after a while, somebody got up enough nerve and went up, maybe one of them old big burly fellas that used to chain him up said, I don't mean to be rude, but you look mighty familiar. Do I know you from somewhere? He said, yeah, you know me. But you don't recognize me the way I look right now, but you've met me before. And an old big guy said, well, where did we meet at? He said, you remember you used to have a little part-time job going down to the graveyard and chaining this crazy man up. And the old burly guy went, you can't be. You got to be his brother. He said, no, I'm that guy. Man, what happened to you? Well, one day, I met a man named Jesus. I met a man named Jesus. And he said, he got them demons out of me. And he said, I wanted so bad to just go with him and just follow him and just be with him everywhere he went. I mean, I wanted to just be right up. I wanted to be right there next to him all the time. But you know what he said? He said, I got a little job I need for you to do. He said, I need you to stay right here and tell everybody you can what's happened. Now, let me tell you this. This is God's method of multiplication. I know I'm modernizing it. McDonald's not. I understand all that. Don't go out of here. They ain't had no McDonald's in the Bible. Believe it or not, I've had people do things to me like that before after church, and I thought, how retarded can you be? But anyway, this old big burly guy, he goes home. He gets on the cell phone, honey. You ain't gonna believe who I just drunk coffee with at McDonald's. And then she's going to tell two or three friends. He can't wait to get back to the plant. He's going to tell everybody on the job what he just saw. He said, boys, y'all remember that part-time job I had? And I'd tell you all about that crazy man, how he'd bite at me and he'd cuss me. And he just, man, it was all I could do to control him. He said, I sat down and had coffee with that guy. Oh, you did not? Yes, I did too. I don't believe it. How are they going to let a man like that in McDonald's looking the way he looks without no clothes on? He said, oh, man, this guy here dressed up just as good as anybody I ever seen. Had clean shaven. Had his hair all fixed up just right. Said his breath smelled good. Said, I'm going to tell you what, it's the same guy. I'm telling you, it's the same guy. And then they go home and tell their families. You see how it works? You ever say that bad news travels fast? If we could get good news to travel as fast as bad news, if we could get good news to travel half as fast as bad news travels, we could win this country to God in just a little while. What's Christ done for you? That's all you got to do is just tell one person. If I challenge you this week, find one person and tell them what Jesus done for you. You say, I don't know if I can or not. Well, you can talk about everything else. You know we can. We can talk about everything else. I mean, we got our ball teams we like, and that's fine. We got our trucks, our cars. I mean, we got it going on, man. I get around these guys now with these big trucks, you know, and there's some guys, man, they got Dodges, you know. My Ram Tough, man. Boy, I hook that Ram Tough to that Super Duty and drag you all over town. They ain't had the thing 30 days, ain't made the first payment on the chip, but man, they think that's the toughest thing in town. They seen it on TV, you know. And then you got a Chevrolet, man. So I tell you what, I'd throw rocks at them Fords, man. I'd drag them Fords out of the ditch all day long. And I'm thinking, I'm just glad mine's running right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, but see, what I'm saying is we'll promote what impresses us. Am I not right? We'll promote what impresses us. I bought some parts the other day, ordered some parts. Company I'd never heard of before, but they had what I wanted, and it was a price I could afford, so I said, well, I'm going to take a chance on it because they're half price, whatever else is, and I'll just go and have to take a chance. And I did. And put them on my truck, and I liked them. I really liked them a lot, but then after they'd been on the truck about 2 weeks, I was washing my truck, and I saw where one of them had a little hairline crack in it. I said, well, it's been too long now. I probably, they won't do nothing about it, I'm sure, but I just went in, I wrote a nice email, you know, about how much I liked the product, but had anybody else had this problem, you know, and I said I tried to take a picture of it, but it just really doesn't come out, and I just wondering, you know, is there anything that can be done at this point? Man, within 30 minutes, I had a return address label
sent back to me. I told him, I said, I have to travel with my truck. I have to have my truck. I can't wait. I can't take it off and send it to you and then wait for the other one to come back. They said, we're going to send you the new one. You send it. You put it on and you send us ours back, our defective one back, when it is at your convenience. I've been telling everybody about A&M Auto Parts. Good customer service. Ryan was looking for something for his truck. That's the first place I looked. Why would you look there? Because they give good customer service. You see, I was impressed with them. I'll talk about them because I'm impressed with them, right? Hey, it works that way with a lot of things. Doesn't it work that way with a lot of things? If you get a good barber, or Diane and Laura's got this person they like that does her hair right now. Of course, they might not like her 6 months from now, but they like her now. But I like my barber. Now I do need a cut right now. I know. I got the little. Hey, that's the only thing bad about wearing that thing at night. Man, you got the weirdest hair when you wake up in the morning and you put all kinds of goo-goo stuff on it and it just ain't going to lay down right. But I am sleeping better. I don't look no better, but I sleep better. All I'm trying to challenge this morning.